with a word of prayer, and then you can get your outline out of your bulletin and follow, be able to follow along with me. But let's bow our heads right now, and let's invite the presence of God into this time. Lord God, we come before you. We thank you so much for your love. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness, your goodness. Thank you for your provision, God. Thank you for all that you do and all that you've done for us, God. We thank you, God, for bringing us here together today. Lord, I believe with all my heart that it's not a coincidence that we're here. I believe, God, that you have ordained this time, ordained this moment, and that, Lord, that you want to speak to each one of us today in a very specific and a very personal way. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you. We welcome you into this place. And God, I pray, I ask, Lord, that every single one of us would leave here today having had an encounter with your love and your goodness. And I ask you for that in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
So go ahead and get your outline out. And again, my message is entitled, How to Pray Throughout Your Day Today. And at the top of your outline, there's a scripture verse from Ephesians 6, verse 18, which Paul writes, pray in the Spirit at all times with all kinds of prayers, asking for everything you need. To do this, you must always be ready and never give up, and always pray for all of God's people. There's a lot of alls and always in there. But now in that one verse, there's seven instructions. Seven instructions to us in this one verse. First of all, he basically says, I want you to pray in the Spirit at all times. So what does that mean? Well, basically, it just means to let God lead you. To let God lead you. So when you're praying, if God puts an impression on your mind, maybe there's a person that comes to your mind. Maybe a family member, a friend, a coworker, some situation. It could be a person. It could be some situation. But whatever God puts on your mind, I like the word impression. An impression that comes on your mind. Pray for that. Now, what we do a lot of times is we'll think of something, and we won't think it's important enough to pray for, or maybe we'll think, you know, I'll pray for that later. Don't do that. As soon as you get that thought in your mind, pray for it. Pray for that. That's praying in the Spirit. The next instruction he gives, he says, pray in the Spirit at all times. So that simply means that there's no inappropriate time to pray. Every time, any time is a good time to pray. Then he says, with all kinds of prayers. Did you guys know that there's lots of different kinds of prayers? There's lots of different types of prayers. It depends on what your circumstances are. It depends on where your emotions are. For a good example of that, you just have to look at the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms has prayers of that cover every type of emotion known to man. There's sad prayers. There's complaining prayers. You guys might like that. griping prayers. Moaning prayers. There's courageous prayers. There's confession prayers. There's celebration prayers. All kinds of prayers. In fact, you could just read a psalm and say, God, that's my prayer. Make that my prayer. And people have done that for thousands of years. So pray in the Spirit at all times with all kinds of prayers. And then he says, asking for everything you need. So that means there's nothing that's off limits. You can ask God for anything. Whatever is going on in your life, whatever it is that you need, you can ask God for it. Whatever, we've talked about this before, whatever you're interested in, God is interested in. So you can come to him about any and everything. Now, here's another thing. If you worry about it, then you should pray about it.
Right. There
you go. In fact, if you prayed about stuff instead of worrying about it, your life would be a lot different. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have come to the place of realizing this and it being settled in your heart, in your spirit. But worry never changes anything.
Right.
Worry never changes anything, but prayer can change everything.
Yes.
Prayer can change everything. So when you start to worry about something, just stop and instead of worrying about it, start to pray about it. You can pray about anything. It could be issues, physical issues, emotional issues, relational, financial, it doesn't matter what it is, you can pray about it. Then the next thing he says, the fifth thing, he says, always be ready. Always be ready. That means you have to have a plan. You have to have a plan. And that's what we're going to focus on today. Spontaneous prayer, that's fine. And that's all good. But in order to pray throughout your day, you're going to have a plan. And that's what we're going to focus on. And then once you have a plan, you have to stick with it. That's where he says, never give up. And then the last thing he says in Ephesians 6:18, he says, and always pray for all of God's people, which means that you're supposed to pray for everybody.
Yes.
Just like Luann's song, Pray For You. You're supposed to pray for everybody. That means you have to pray longer than a minute and a half a day.
Amen.
Amen. Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. That's not enough. Not enough. So praying throughout your day. So let's talk about that for just a sec. There's two ways generally that people approach this. And they're in your, you can write these down. They're in your outline. Two different habits that people use, generally speaking, to pray throughout their day. The first one is to keep a running conversation with God. And I've talked to some of you guys. Some of you guys, this is your kind of your approach, the running conversation. Whatever you think about, you just talk to God about it throughout the day, just like you and I would talk back and forth. And so there's never an ending to the running conversation with God. You never go and in Jesus' name, amen. That because it's a continual thing. You're constantly talking to God. And a good way to think of it is instead of talking to yourself, you talk to God. Now, all of you guys talk to yourselves. All the time. Because you are your biggest fan. No one can talk to you like you do. Right? I know exactly what I want to say to myself. I know exactly what I want to hear. Some of you do it out loud. That's what really gets really strange. But anyway. But instead, the thing is, it's just a shift. Instead of talking to yourself, you talk to God. So whenever things come up in your mind, you talk to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, never stop praying. So pray all the time. Keep a running conversation with God. That's one approach that people have. The second approach, the second habit, is to schedule prayer. Schedule prayer times throughout the day. And that's really what we want to focus on today. In the Old Testament, the Jews scheduled their prayer times. We read, we read about Daniel, where it says that he kneeled in prayer morning, noon, and evening every day. They're scheduled times. Now, something interesting happened during the Roman Empire. During the Roman Empire, Every city that they would conquer, they would build a forum in that city. And in the forum, they would build a bell tower. And they would ring the bell 6 or 7 times a day, specific times. Now, the first time that it would ring would be about 6 o'clock in the morning. And they would call that prime, or the first hour. Then 3 hours later, at 9 a.m., the bell would ring again. They would call this the third hour. Then the bell would ring again 3 hours later at noon. That was called the sixth hour. And, you know, next week being Easter, we're going to talk about the resurrection of Jesus, the crucifixion, resurrection of Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus was crucified. He hung on the cross from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, which was 3 in the afternoon. That was another time that the bell would ring. Interestingly, in the Roman culture, lunch was 3 hours long. From the sixth hour to the ninth hour. Then the bell would ring again at 6 p.m. And so when the bell rang the first time at 6 a.m., it was basically telling the city, it's time to go to work. When the bell would ring in the sixth hour, it's lunchtime. Ninth hour, 3 in the afternoon, get back to work. When the bell would ring again at 6 p.m., time's up, go home, work's over. Now, everybody in the city could hear those bells. It was like an alarm clock for the whole city to keep everybody on the same schedule. And this continued for hundreds and hundreds of years. And so Jews and Christians adopted the bells to be signals for them to pray. The first hour, the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour, and the 12th hour. They called it the liturgy of the hours. And even today, the Catholic Church follows the liturgy of the hours. They use the same terminology as they did in the Roman Empire. Now, this gets even more interesting. Over time, the monks in the monasteries started putting their own bells in the monasteries. That's why the monks had bell towers, where they would do the same thing as far as ring the bells at every 3 hours. That was signals for them to pray. But in the 1400s, they started thinking, you know what? Instead of having to have someone miss out on praying and have to ring the bells, we need to come up with some way to mechanically cause the bells to ring so everyone would get to pray and no one would miss out on it. So they started creating mechanical instruments to make the bells ring. The Latin word for bell is clock. Clocks were invented to make time for prayer. Wow. That's why clocks were invented. Clocks were invented for worship, so that everyone would know when it was time to pray, and everyone would be able to pray. So, with all of this in mind, the 40-day of prayer campaign has come up with a simple way to schedule your day as far as scheduled prayer time. And it's based on the 7 phrases of the Lord's Prayer. And so what I want to do today is I want to show you this simple method. I believe, because there's a lot of different methods, prayer methods. This one is really, really great. It's very simple. But I believe that if you will put this into practice, your life will change. Your life will change. So We're going to go through these seven phrases of the Lord's Prayer and this method of breaking it down so that you can schedule your prayer throughout the day. And it's in your outline. So the first one, the first thing is, the first thing you do when you first wake up, before breakfast or anything else, first thing you do when you first wake up, get up with gratitude. Yes. Get up with gratitude. I did that this morning. When you first get out of bed, before you do anything else, start out being grateful to God. You start out being thankful to God. You start telling God the things that you're grateful for. Now, you may not believe this, but it's true. You actually have a choice of the attitude you have when you wake up. Someone once asked my wife, you know, do you wake up grumpy in the morning? She said, no, I usually let Cedric sleep. I'm working on it, though. I'm working on it. Did you know that doctors actually discovered that the single healthiest emotion known to man is gratitude? The single healthiest emotion. Did you also know that there is some data out there that the attitude you have for the day, for the whole day, is set in the first 8 minutes after waking up? So if you woke up bummed out today, you want to reject that right now. You wake up with the right attitude, the first 8 minutes, you set the tone for the rest of your day. That's powerful.
Yes.
So why not start up every morning with gratitude? Being thankful to God for what he's done or who he is. Just grateful for stuff. Mm-hmm. You might make a list and set it by your bed and wake up and just pull up the list and go through it. In Matthew 6, verses 8 through 9, Jesus said, "Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So then, this is how you should pray, our Father in heaven." So getting up with gratitude is connected to the very first phrase of the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven. So you start with gratitude. Father, you are good. You are good, God. You have done so much for me. You have blessed me. You have there's so much that I'm thankful for. It's so easy for us to take the most basic things for granted.
Yes, that's true.
If you've never traveled, if you've never left the country, if you've never been overseas, I highly encourage you to go, because you will come back incredibly grateful for where you live and what you have.
Yes,
I'm telling you. I was thinking about it this morning. Thank God for indoor plumbing.
Amen. Yes. Hallelujah.
My wife had knee surgery. Thank God for drugs. Pain meds, right?
Yes.
They didn't always have them. Other people in other countries, they don't have those. But we do. It's the most basic things. You know, it's not hard to make a list of the things you're grateful for. Thank God for the heater working in my house last night.
Yes.
So you start off with our Father in heaven. Get up with gratitude. James chapter 1, verse 17. says, every good gift and every perfect present comes from your Father of light in heaven. So the first thing out of bed, that's what we do. Now you can fill this in your outline. I thank my Father in heaven for his consistent love, and I recall all of the ways that he's good to me. I recall all of the ways that he's good to me. So I thank my Father for his consistent love and recall all the ways that he's good to me. That's how you start your day. All right, so then the next thing. Now we move towards breakfast. And the second thing that we do is we bless God's name at breakfast. We bless God's name at breakfast. Now, none of these have to be long, so don't get yourself into some legalistic thing. Just pray the second phrase of the Lord's Prayer. Bless God's name at breakfast. Hallowed be your name. So now, what does it mean to bless? It means to honor. It means to respect. It means to give praise. We talk about adoring God, giving God adoration. We bless him, we praise him. So he says, the second phrase of the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be your name. It means I'm gonna respect your name, God. I'm gonna praise your name, I'm gonna honor your name. In Psalm 145, verse 2, it says, every day I will bless your name and praise it forever and ever. So now we talk about this a lot in the church. So what's the big deal about God's name? What's the big deal about all that? Well, your name really is a reflection of your character. Your name is a reflection of your character. If you walk into a bank and get a loan, you'll get a loan based on your good name. If young people, listen to me. Your name is important. Because if you have a bad name, that means you have a bad reputation. That means you ain't getting a loan. You're not getting a car loan. You're not getting a student loan because you have a bad name. So you want to have a good name, a good reputation, because your name is a reflection of who you are, your character, who you are as a person. And so God's name is important because that's a reflection of who he is. God says, you can trust me. My word is solid. Did you know that there's over 7,000 promises from God in the Bible? And God says, for all 7,000 of those promises, you can trust my word. You can trust who I am. You can trust my character because that's I have integrity. I can be depended upon. Now, as far as names, in our culture, we don't put a whole lot of emphasis on that in terms of when we have kids. You know, a lot of time, I mean, some people do, but a lot of people, it's just you pick names because they sound cool. Or there's some family connection or maybe you got some clever thing. Don't take this the wrong way. I think it's actually cool and clever. You know, your kids all start with the same letter or rhyme or, you know, whatever. That's all great. But in the Bible, that's not how they went about it. In the Bible, names were given to children based on their perception of who that kid's going to be or what they're going to be like. They would even wait and watch the behavior and then give the kid that name. In the Bible, God has about 100 different names. 100 different names. Because they all represent his character and things about him. Now, here's the thing that I really want you guys to hone in on. All prayer is based on how much you know God.
Yes.
All prayer is based on how much you know God. The more you know God, the more you know his names and who he is, the less you're going to worry about. The more you know God, the more confident you will be in life. The more you know God, the more you're going to know yourself. People who have a problem with their identity don't know God. Because if you know God, you will know who you are because God created you. So people are going, you know, I just don't know who I am. I don't know who I'm supposed to be. God's saying, if you knew me, you would know who you are and who you're supposed to be and where you're supposed to go.
Yeah.
The better you get to know your creator, the better you're going to know yourself.
Yeah.
One of the biggest life-changing events in my life was when I asked God the question, how do you see me? I know what everybody else is saying, but I want to know what you say. And that changed everything about my life. The direction of my life completely changed when I asked God that simple question. I need to know what you think. The more you know God, the more you'll know yourself. So on your outline, it says, I review God's names. And then I think about the promises that they imply. I think about the promises that his names imply. Psalm 9 verse 10 says, those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never abandoned those who truly seek you. So if God says, my name is Jehovah Jireh, I am your provider. Do I have to worry about where the next meal is coming from? No, because he says, I am your provider. All right, so we bless God's name at breakfast. You remind yourself of who God is. All right, so that's the second scheduled time. Now we head to work or go to school. And number three, at mid-morning, remember what matters most. At mid-morning, remember what matters most. This is connected to let your kingdom come and let your will be done. At mid-morning, remember what matters most. So at some point during the morning, mid-morning, you're at work or school, you need to pause and pray. Take a short break. Maybe step outside or go to the break room or restroom or go sit in your car or whatever, you know, depending on what your situation is. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. It's actually a redundant statement. You ever thought about that? It's a redundant statement because wherever God's kingdom is, his will gets done. And whenever he wants his will to be done, his kingdom is there. Amen?
Right.
Amen. So at mid-morning, I remember what matters most. In your outline, it says, I align myself with God's purpose and plans for my life. I align myself with God's purpose and plans for my life. So I just stop and I just say, God, I want to remind myself that there's something a whole lot bigger than just my plans, my stuff. So let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. God, I know that you have a plan for the whole world, but I also know you have a plan for my life. And I want to align myself with that, with the plan that you have for me. God has a plan for the whole world. God's plan is moving right on schedule. History is moving towards a climax. History is really all about God's story. It's his story. That's what history is. There was a definite beginning. And there will be a definite ending. Life is not circular. I know in The Lion King, The Circle of Life was a hit song. And people think that's real. Come on, y'all, that was a cartoon. That was a cartoon. Okay? I know it was like, oh, gonna come. No, that was a cartoon. That's not real. There is no circle of life. Life is linear. There was a beginning where God created it, and there is an ending when he will destroy it and create a new heaven and a new earth. Right. And in between, Jesus is coming back on a specific day at a specific time. So history is linear. And so God has a plan for the whole world, but more important than that, God has a plan for your life. There's specific things that God wants you to accomplish, things that God wants you to experience. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. One of the amazing promises in the Bible from Matthew 6:33 says, if you seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, all the other things will be added to you. But it starts with seeking first his kingdom. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. This is so contrarian or counterintuitive. Do you need more time? Anybody need more time? Yeah, a few of y'all are like, man, yeah, I need more time. You need more time? Seek first God's kingdom. Anybody need more money? A few honest people. You guys are, that false humility thing is hilarious. You know? It's hilarious. Need more money? Oh, no, not me. I go out, look at what you drove up. People are like, yeah, you do. If I had some, I'd give it to you. You know? Oh, no, not me. Bless God. Come on. You need more money?
Yeah.
Seek first the kingdom of God.
Yes.
It's counterintuitive, but it's true. See, put God's agenda first. Need more energy? Put God's agenda first. Always put God's agenda first, and then miraculously, you will get more of whatever it is that you need.
So
got a major decision to make? Got an issue at school? Struggling with something, struggling in a relationship, put God's agenda first. Seek first the kingdom of God. All right, so now number four. It's lunchtime. So number four, list my needs at lunch. List my needs at lunch. This goes, of course, with the fourth phrase of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, bread represents everything that you need. Bread can, of course, be literal. If you need food, then give us this day our daily bread. If you need, here we go again. Yeah, if you need money, which none of you guys do, by the way. Isn't it interesting that people even call money bread?
Right.
Like, do you have any, you know, no. Maybe I should have said it that way. Maybe you would have connected. Anybody need some bread? Oh, yeah. Amen, bro. Amen, brother. Slap me some bread, brother. It could represent resources. Really, it represents everything. Any and everything that you need, give us this day our daily bread. Give me, Lord, what I need for today. When God fed the children of Israel with manna, it was every day, and you couldn't save it. You couldn't hoard it. You couldn't keep it overnight. It literally was daily bread, daily provision, because God wanted them to depend on Him. So God, I need enough strength for today. I need, you know, during lunch, you take a few moments and just pray, Lord, give me this day what I need. I need patience, God. I need strength. I need energy. I'm not feeling good. Help me. Yeah. Give me what I need for today, for this day. And then tomorrow, I'll be back again asking for the same thing. You know? But that's what God wants.
Yeah.
He wants us every day to come to Him and say, Lord, help me. Give me what I need for this day. Here's another opportunity that if you want, you could make a list of what your needs are and bring them before the Lord every day. God, this is what I need. Lord, you know I've got a car payment. Lord, you know I got to pay all my student loan. Lord, you know our rent. Lord, you know whatever that might be. You can make a list. And while you're eating your sandwich or whatever, bring your list, your needs before God. Now, there's two things in your outline there. The first one says, I ask for anything that I need. So hopefully, you won't do that false humility thing with God. Right? Hopefully, you'll just be straight and you'll just be, God, I need, this is what I need, man. I need this. Speaking of that car thing, before you buy a car, why don't you ask God for one?
Right.
Ever thought of that? God can hook you up.
Right.
Ask God for what you need first before you just jump and do stuff on your own. Because you can ask God for anything. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 13, you can ask for anything in my name. So ask. I can ask for anything I need. The second thing in your outline is that I ask for what other people need too. I ask for what other people need too. Do you have a friend, family member, someone that you know that has a need? Then bring their needs before the Lord as well. Whenever you pray for someone else, that's called intercession.
Yes.
When you pray for yourself, that's called a petition. Mm-hmm. But we're to pray for each other.
Yes.
In fact, in 1 Samuel 12, verse 23, Samuel says, he says, I'd be sinning against the Lord if I failed to pray for you. You know, I mean, I love you guys, and I pray for you. I pray for each one of you because I love you. But I also pray because I don't want to be sinning against the Lord by not praying for you.
That's right.
We're to pray for each other. Now, so give this day Notice it says, give us this day our daily bread. Somehow we tend to transpose that. Give me this day my daily bread. But that's not what it says, right? I don't care what translation you have. It doesn't say that. It says give us, because we are family. We are together, and so that's what this is. That's what it's all about. We pray for each other. 2 Peter 1:3 says, Jesus has the power of God by which he gives us everything we need to live and to serve God. We have these things because we know him. All right. So now we move to number 5. Lunch is over, mid-afternoon, back at work. This is when our energy is a little low, right? I know for me anyway, I want to take a nap. And this is usually when attitudes get a little funky at work. People get a little grouchy. So number 5, I ask for forgiveness in the afternoon. So, some point during the afternoon, take a little prayer break. Maybe again, break room, go sit in your car, step outside, whatever. Short prayer, and it's just, Lord, is there anything in my life that I need to clean out? Ask for forgiveness in the afternoon, which goes along with the 5th statement of the Lord's Prayer from Matthew 6:12. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. So we've already had, speaking of types of prayers, we've had thanksgiving, we've had petition, we've had intercession. Now we have confession. So confession, I own up, I fess up, right, to whatever's going on in me that isn't pleasing to God. Any wrong reactions, anything like that, any sin at all. And at the same time, I choose to forgive any and everything that anyone else has done or said or looked at or whatever towards me. Because I don't want to have any grudges.
Yeah.
I don't want to have any resentment. I don't want to carry all that stuff. And I also don't want to carry around any guilt. Did you guys know you don't have to carry guilt? You don't have to walk around feeling guilty. Confess and repent. A lot of people, and maybe this is true for you, walk around today burdened down, in literally in a prison of guilt and resentment. Guilt over stuff that you've done, resentment about things that people have done to you, and you carry that like a ball and chain everywhere you go. And you don't have to. Because when you live like that, we end up regretting the past, we worry about the future, and we waste today.
Yeah.
You waste now because of that. Can I be straight?
Come on. Mm-hmm.
That's dumb. Life's too short, man. Let it go. Just let it go. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your life. Believe and enjoy what's ahead for you. You don't get extra points for that. So let it go. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Jesus died on the cross so you don't have to deal with that.
Right.
So write this down. I admit my sins and I forgive others who frustrated me. I like that word, frustrated, because that's real, right? I admit my sins and I forgive others who frustrated me. Psalm 32, verse 5 says, I confess my sins to you and didn't try to hide them. And then you forgave me. And now all my guilt is gone. All right, so that's number 5. Now, work's over. You survived all that. You get in your car. You head home. This is interesting. Studies have shown that 90% of all arguments in the world happen about an hour before dinner. 90% of all arguments happen about an hour or so before dinner. You know why? Low blood sugar. We're cranky. We're cranky. So you need to know this so you can ward this off. So this leads us up to the sixth prayer time, and that is ask God to help me make wise decisions. Ask God to help me make wise decisions, which is connected to the sixth phrase of the Lord's Prayer, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes the worst temptations for me happen in the evening. One of which has to do with the refrigerator. Since we're confessing, I've got a really serious sweet tooth. And so I go through the day, I work 12, 14 hours, you know, and in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, when I get home, I'm going to eat and then fill in the blank. You know what I mean? And it's never set it up to where, like, I'm going to have a piece of cake. It's like, I'm going to have a cake when I get home, I'm going to have a pie, or, you know, it's never, like, specific. But anyway, some of you guys, it's the TV. And you're watching stuff that you know you shouldn't be watching. I know that if I was at your house, you'd be scrambling to turn that stuff off. Right? Or the computer, you know, on the internet, you know, like, Cedric's coming over. Oh my gosh. Pulling the plug. You know? That's why, before you get home, Lord, lead me not into temptation. God has given us a promise. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. It says, remember that the temptations that come into your life are no different from what other people experience. And God is faithful. He will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you're not able to stand up against it. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you will not give in to it. So first of all, it says that any temptation that you struggle with, you're not the only one. It's the same basic thing for everybody throughout history. So you're not special. The second thing is, because it's a common temptation, it means that there's a common solution to it. So there's no such thing as saying, I couldn't help myself. I was overwhelmed by that or whatever. Because God promises, He says, I will make a way out for you anytime you're tempted. but you have to choose it. Now, it's never a sin to be tempted. It's never a sin to be tempted. The sin is when you give in to that temptation. So lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, last, number 7, I end my day with an encouraging truth. I end my day with an encouraging truth. The Lord's Prayer ends, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So there's 3 encouraging truths. And this is a great way to end your day. First of all, number 1 is that God is in control. God is in control. In Proverbs 21, verse 1, it says, "The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he can turn it whithersoever he wishes." God is in control. God holds the leaders of the world, their hearts, in his hand, and he can turn them however he chooses. When we pray, if you will pray, the world changes when people pray. This is the partnership that we have with God. So often we're like, "God, why don't you do something?" God's like, "Why won't you do something? Why won't you do something? Why won't you pray?" That's the partnership. But when we pray, "Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Good night, God. We're saying, "God, you're in control." Yeah. Secondly, number 2, this is not the end of the story. This is not the end of the story. And number 3, God and his family win in the end. When you read the last chapter of the book, y'all, we win.
Amen.
God wins. Corrie Ten Boom, she said, "If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you'll be at rest."
Yeah.
It depends on who you're looking at. God, you're in control. This is not the end of the story, and we win in the end. Good night, God. I'll see you in the morning.
Yes.
Good night. You'll sleep a whole lot better.
Yes.
You guys are watching, you know, super depressing news and stuff before you go to bed. No wonder you have bad dreams. No wonder you're tossing and turning all restless. Instead of that, end your day with an encouraging truth.
Yeah.
So, I've given you guys this 7-step prayer model. I want to encourage you to do this.
Amen.
Not just to hear it and whatever, but I really, really encourage you to do it. Because if you will do it, I believe God will change some things significantly as far as your life. Now, I want to close with this. So often when I teach these types of things, I know what some of you are thinking. Said, I'm really, really busy. As if you think you're busier than me. But I'm really, really busy. Did you know, anytime I think about that, I always think about the quote from Martin Luther. He said, "I have so much to do today, I need to pray 3 hours today just so I can get everything done." I don't think any of us in the room are at that place. If you don't have time to pause and pray, you're too busy. You're too busy. You're on your way to massive burnout and blowout. And if you're too busy to spend time with God, then I will let you explain that to Him when you stand before Him. And I would love to be at that meeting. But here's a promise, and this will help you. Proverbs 10, verse 27 says, reverence for God adds hours to each day. Amen. It's a supernatural thing that happens. It's just like tithing.
Yes. Amen.
Where God can make 90% woo-hoo go further than your 100%.
Yes.
God can supernaturally,
yes,
add hours to your day when you stop and give Him your time.
Yes.
God adds hours to each day. Everything that we've talked about today, man, it'll change your life,
yes,
if you will do it. Would you guys bow your heads right now? The Lord's Prayer covers every major need of your life. And you can use this, what I've shared with you today, as a way to check in with God throughout your day. God, I'm checking in with you. God, I'm connecting with you. God, you know what my needs are. God, and as you will do this, God will bless every area of your life. Of course, all of this begins with having a relationship with God to begin with. And if you've never opened your heart, if you never opened your life to Jesus, all you have to do is just ask Him to come into your life. Say, Jesus, come into my life. Change me. Save me. I believe you are the Son of God, that you died, you rose again. With every head bowed, I just want to pray. I want to pray over you guys. And if you agree with this prayer, then I believe God's going to really move in your hearts and in your lives. Dear God, Father, I just want to thank you for your amazing love. Thank you, Father, that you've provided for me, that you've taken care of me, that you've watched over me, that you've given me all that you have. Thank you, Father, that your names reveal who you are. So, Father, I thank you that you are faithful, that you are good, that I can trust you with everything that I have, that I can trust you with everything that is in store for me, my future. Your plans for me are good. Father God, I ask for your provision for my life. Father, you know what my needs are, and I bring them before you. I want to be honest. I want to be straight with you. I want to trust you and believe the very, very best that you will take care of me. And Father, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. I bring them before you. And God, I forgive everyone that has harmed me in any way. And Father, lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from evil. For God, I know that for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and forever and ever and ever. And so God, I just ask that you will help me connect with you each day in this way. And God, I look forward to what you have for me because of that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give God praise? Amen. Well, in just a moment, our greeters are going to come forward